fairly consistent. Some people also go through a midlife crisis in their 40s when they question the choices they've made, but most of us take certain things for granted, such as our likes and dislikes, our values, our religious beliefs, our positions on important issues, and our career preferences. Lacking a sense of self. But the searching never ends for people with BPD. They lack an essential sense of themselves, just like they lack a consistent sense of others. Without a sense of self to cling to, they are like passengers on the deck of a ship during a typhoon, getting tossed about and battered. They frantically look around, searching for something to hold on to, but all they see are other passengers wearing life jackets, lashed to poles for security. As another wave roars over the deck, they grab onto someone else's pole and hang on for dear life. But the life jacket is only big enough for one person, and the pole can't withstand the combined weight and is starting to crack. In his book, The Role of Psychodynamic Concepts in the Diagnosis of Borderline Personality Disorder, Robert J. Waldinger discusses the issue of identity diffusion, a characteristic that leads to feelings of emptiness. Identity diffusion refers to borderline patients' profound and often terrifying sense that they do not know who they are. Normally, we experience ourselves consistently through time in different settings and with different people. This continuity of self is not experienced by the person with BPD. Instead, borderline patients are filled with contradictory images of themselves that they cannot integrate. Patients commonly report feeling empty inside, feeling there is nothing to me, feeling that they are different people depending on whom they are with, being dependent on others for cues about how to behave, what to think, and how to be, feeling that being alone leaves them without a sense of who they are or with the feeling that they do not exist, feeling panicked and bored when alone. A sense of inner emptiness and chaos renders borderline patients dependent on others for cues on how to behave, what to think, and how to be, whereas being alone leaves them without a sense of who they are and with the feeling that they do not exist. This, in part, accounts for these patients' frantic and often impulsive effort to avoid being alone, as well as their descriptions of panic, crushing boredom, and dissociation. Never good enough. While a BP may have difficulty with self-definition, he may also feel that, no matter what his identity, he's never good enough. Some people with BPD become extremely successful at what they do. They become known for their achievements at work, in their community, or at home. But they often feel like actors reciting their lines. When the audience goes home, they cease to exist. People with BPD base their self-worth on their latest achievement, or lack of it. Judge themselves as harshly as they judge others, so whatever they do is never good enough. See themselves as helpless victims of other people, even when their own behavior has affected the outcome of a particular situation. The role of victim. For example, during group therapy, a borderline man complained that his landlord had evicted him and he had no place to live. After 20 minutes of commiseration, group members began asking him why this had happened. It turned out that the man had violated many apartment rules, including parking in the landlord's space. Another borderline woman repeatedly battered her husband, had numerous affairs, and had her husband falsely arrested for possession of drugs after she planted them in his suitcase. Eventually, she filed for divorce. Her ex-husband began dating a woman he worked with. Yet, when the woman described the breakup to her friends, she told them that her husband deserted her for a co-worker. These two BPs refused to recognize their role in the situations. Why do they do it? Some people with BPD may play the role of victim because it draws sympathetic attention. Some people with BPD may feel being the victim supplies an identity. The victim role gives people with BPD the illusion that they are not responsible for their own actions. Borderlines with abusive backgrounds may be replaying scripts from the past. The role of caretaker. Another role common among people with BPD is that of helper or caretaker. This more positive role may help provide them with an identity, heighten feelings of control, and lessen feelings of emptiness. Salia, BP. I have a chameleon-like ability to take on the coloring of the individual I am with, but the act has done more to fool me than to fool them. For the time being, I have become who I'd like to be. I am not some kind of Machiavellian manipulator with nothing better to do than ruin lives. The process isn't even really conscious. It's been going on for so long now that I don't even know who I really am. I feel unreal, like a phony. If I had any true control over it, I would simply revert back to myself whenever I felt threatened. But I don't know who that is. 4. Impulsivity in at least two areas that are potentially self-damaging. Example given, spending, sex, substance abuse, shoplifting, reckless driving, binge eating. Everyone has urges they would love to indulge if they could. Eat every chocolate in the box, buy a great new sweater in every color, or drink one last glass of champagne to toast in the new year. Most people have varying abilities to control impulses and delay immediate gratification. They're aware of the long-term consequences, in this case, weight gain, a massive credit card bill, or a nasty hangover. But people with BPD are characterized by impulsivity, even recklessness. People with BPD may also try to fill the emptiness and create an identity for themselves through impulsive behaviors such as binging and purging, indiscriminate sexual activity, shoplifting, compulsive shopping, drinking, or substance abuse. BPD and substance abuse disorders often go hand in hand. Another study reported that about 23% of borderline patients had a diagnosis of substance abuse. Borderline substance abusers are likely to abuse more than one drug, a frequent combination is drug and alcohol abuse, are more likely to be depressed, have more frequent suicide attempts and accidents, have less impulse control, seem to have more antisocial tendencies. If the BP in your life is actively abusing drugs and alcohol, it can be difficult to determine what behavior is related to BPD and what is related to substance abuse. 5. Recurrent suicidal behavior, gestures, or threats. Suicide. According to the DSM-4, about 8-10% of all people with BPD commit suicide. This does not include BPs who engage in risky behavior that results in death, such as drinking and driving. Marcia M. Linehan explains that suicide and other impulsive dysfunctional behaviors are seen as solutions to overwhelming, uncontrollable emotional pain. Suicide, of course, is the ultimate way to change one's moods. Other, less lethal behaviors can also be quite effective in changing the borderline's mood. Overdosing, for example, usually leads to long periods of sleep. Sleep, in turn, has an important influence on regulating emotional vulnerability. Suicidal behavior, including suicidal threats, is also very effective in eliciting behaviors from the environment, help that may be effective in reducing the emotional pain. In many instances, such behavior is the only way an individual can get others to pay attention to and try to ameliorate her emotional pain. Tony, non-BP. My wife came home crying, desperate because her boyfriend had dumped her. Incredibly, she felt that I shouldn't be angry about the affair and that I should support her because of the pain she was feeling. When I wasn't supportive enough, she started threatening suicide in front of our 10-year-old son. Self-mutilating behavior. Self-mutilation, without suicidal intent, is another BPD behavior that is very difficult for family members to understand. Examples include cutting, burning, breaking bones, headbanging, needle poking, skin scratching, pulling out hairs, ripping off scabs. Sometimes dangerous or compulsive behavior can be a type of self-mutilation, overeating to the point of obesity, for example, or provoking physical fights with others. Self-injury is a coping mechanism that BPs use to release or manage overwhelming emotional pain, usually feelings of shame, anger, sadness, and abandonment. Self-mutilation may release the body's own opiates, known as beta-endorphins. These chemicals lead to a general feeling of well-being. Borderline's reasons for self-mutilation vary tremendously and include to feel alive, less numb and empty, to feel more numb, to express anger at others, to punish themselves or express self-loathing, probably more frequent among BPs who have been abused, to somehow prove that they are not as bad as they think they are, to relieve stress or anxiety, to feel in control of their pain, to bring back a sense of reality, to feel real, to seek relief from emotional pain, frustration, and other negative feelings by focusing on physical pain, to communicate emotional pain to others or ask for help. Here are some words from BPs on self-mutilation. To tell you the truth, I think I did it so someone would notice that in fact I needed help. When I cut, I don't have to try to explain how bad I am feeling. I can show it. When I get angry at someone, I want to destroy, hurt, or kill them, but I know that I can't really hurt that person, so I take out the anger by cutting myself or pulling out my hair. It makes me feel better at the time, but later on I am ashamed of myself, and I wish that I had not done it. When my father stopped abusing me, I had to make up for the hurt that suddenly disappeared. For me, the scars were just outside paintings of what my parents did. Self-harm may be planned in advance or done impulsively. It may be performed intentionally or unconsciously, almost as if the person is in a haze and doesn't realize what they're doing. People who mutilate themselves may or may not feel pain while they're doing it. Some people hide their self-mutilation, only disfiguring areas normally hidden by clothing. Some people learn to sew up their wounds so they won't have to seek medical attention and reveal their secret. Other people are more open about the results of their self-injury, perhaps because it's a way of asking for help or a method of communicating their pain. People with BPD are often very aware of their own reasons for self-injury, but an intellectual understanding doesn't make it any easier to stop. Self-mutilation can become an addiction, much like smoking, and the urge to do it can be just as powerful as a smoker's urge for another cigarette. There is a misperception that all people with BPD harm themselves or are suicidal. Many high-functioning BPs do not. BPs who hurt themselves, however, may seek professional help more often than those who don't. 6. Affective instability due to a marked reactivity of mood. Example given, intense episodic dysphoria, irritability, or anxiety, usually lasting a few hours and only rarely more than a few days. When most people feel bad, they can take steps to feel better. They can also control, to some extent, how much their moods affect their relationships with others. People with BPD have a hard time doing this. Their mood may swing from intense anger to depression, depression to irritability, and irritability to anxiety within a few hours. Non-BPs often find this unpredictability exhausting. Dina, non-BP. Living with my borderline husband is heaven one minute and hell the next. I call his personalities jovial Jekyll and horrible Hyde. I walk on eggshells trying to please someone who blows up just because I spoke too soon, too quickly, in the wrong tone, with the wrong facial motions. Number 7. Chronic feelings of emptiness was previously covered under Criterion 3. 8. Inappropriate, intense anger or difficulty controlling anger. Example given, frequent displays of temper, constant anger, recurrent physical fights. If you care about someone with BPD, you are probably very familiar with this trait. Borderline rage is usually intense, unpredictable, and unaffected by logical argument. It is like a torrential flash flood, a sudden earthquake, or a bolt of lightning on a sunny day, and it can disappear as quickly as it appears. Some borderlines, however, have the opposite problem. They feel unable to express their anger at all. In her text, Marcia M. Linehan writes that borderline individuals who underexpress anger fear they will lose control if they express even the slightest anger, and at other times they fear that targets of even minor anger expression will retaliate. Jane G. Dresser, RN, who specializes in BPD, told us in an interview that she believes that people with BPD feel all emotions intensely, not just anger. She theorizes that anger was highlighted in the DSM criteria because anger is typically the feeling that causes the most problems for people close to the borderline. Linehan echoes this belief, often saying that people with BPD are like people with third-degree burns over 90% of their body. Lacking emotional skin, they feel agony at the slightest touch or movement. If you are being attacked, verbally or physically, by someone with BPD, keep in mind that even experienced mental health professionals may, at times, take borderline rage personally and become upset. We explain how to take steps to protect yourself in Chapter 8. Jeremy, BP. When I can't control my surroundings, I become nervous and angry. It gets much worse when I am under stress. When triggered, I can go from perfectly calm to full-blown white-hot rage within a fraction of a second. I think that my temper comes from the abuse I suffered when I was a child. At some point, I decided that I didn't have to take my parents' abuse anymore. Raging back became a matter of survival. So now, it's hard for me to feel concerned about the other person's feelings. In fact, I want them to hurt because they've hurt me. I know this sounds bad, but that's the way I feel when I'm in the middle of an outburst. I'm just trying to survive the best way I know how. Laura, BP. I think that borderlines are concerned with only one thing, losing love. When cornered, I get very scared, and I show that by getting angry. Anger is easier to feel than fear and makes me feel less vulnerable. I strike before being struck. When I'm mad, all the intellectual understanding in the world doesn't help. The only thing that helps is when my husband says to me, "I know you are scared and not angry." At that moment, my anger melts away and I can feel my fear again. Real anger, the anger normal people feel when they've been treated unjustly, I don't feel at all. That would require a self. Since I don't have a self, or since I put away my own self so deep that I can't reach it anymore, I can't get angry. 9. Transient stress-related paranoid ideation or severe dissociative symptoms. Have you ever arrived home from work without remembering how you got there? You've traveled the route so many times that your brain let your eyes and reflexes do the driving. This out-of-it feeling is a mild type of dissociation. People who are severely dissociating, however, feel unreal, strange, numb, or detached. They may or may not remember exactly what happened while they were gone. The degree of dissociation can vary from the car trip home variety to the extreme dissociation characterized by multiple personality disorder, now called dissociative identity disorder. People with BPD may dissociate to different degrees to escape from painful feelings or situations. The more stressful the situation, the more likely it is that the person will dissociate. In extreme cases, people with BPD may even lose all contact with reality for a brief period of time. If the borderline in your life reports memories of shared situations quite differently from you, dissociation may be one possible explanation. Karen, BP. Sometimes I feel like a robot going through the motions. Nothing seems real. My eyes cloud over, and it's like there's a movie going on all around me. My therapist says I look lost, like I am off in a place where even she can't reach me. When I come back, people tell me that I did or said certain things that I can't remember. Additional BPD traits. People with BPD may have other attributes that are not part of the DSM definition, but that researchers believe are common to the disorder. Many of these may be related to sexual or physical abuse the BP might have experienced earlier in life. Pervasive shame. John Bradshaw's book, Healing the Shame That Binds You, is not about borderline personality disorder, yet his explanation of toxic shame and the resulting feelings and behaviors epitomizes BPD. Bradshaw writes, Toxic shame is experienced as the all-pervasive sense that I am flawed and defective as a human being. It is no longer an emotion that signals our limits. It is a state of being, a core identity. Toxic shame gives you a sense of worthlessness, the feeling of being isolated, empty, and alone in a complete sense. Exposure to oneself lies at the heart of toxic shame. A shame-based person will guard against exposing his inner self to others, but more significantly, he will guard against exposing himself to himself. Bradshaw sees shame as the root of issues such as rage, criticism and blame, caretaking and helping, codependency, addictive behavior, excessive people-pleasing, eating disorders. In their typical all-or-nothing way, people with BPD may either become consumed by their shame or deny to themselves and others that it even exists. Shame is also a core issue for many non-BPs, especially those who remain in abusive relationships. Undefined boundaries. People with BPD have difficulty setting and maintaining personal limits, both their own and those of others. Tom, BP. I was brought up thinking that the perfect intimate relationship had no boundaries. Boundaries only meant a rift between people. Boundaries meant I had to be alone, separate, have an identity. I didn't feel good enough to have a separate identity. I needed either total enmeshment or total isolation. We will further discuss boundary issues in Chapter 6. Control issues. Borderlines may need to feel in control of other people because they feel so out of control with themselves. In addition, they may be trying to make their own world more predictable and manageable. People with BPD may unconsciously try to control others by putting them in no-win situations, creating chaos that no one else can figure out, or accusing others of trying to control them. Conversely, some people with BPD may cope with feeling out of control by giving up their own power. For example, they may choose a lifestyle where all choices are made for them, such as the military or a cult, or they may align themselves with abusive people who try to control them through fear. Bradshaw believes that shame also leads to oversteering. Those who must control everything fear being vulnerable. Why? Because to be vulnerable opens up one to be shamed. Control is a way to ensure that no one can ever shame us again. It involves controlling our own thoughts, expressions, feelings, and actions. And it involves attempting to control other people's thoughts, feelings, and actions. Lack of object constancy. When we're lonely, most of us can soothe ourselves by remembering the love that others have for us. This is very comforting, even if these people are far away, sometimes even if they're no longer living. This ability is known as object constancy. Some people with BPD, however, find it difficult to evoke an image of a loved one to soothe them when they feel upset or anxious. If that person is not physically present, they don't exist on an emotional level. The BP may call you frequently just to make sure you're still there and still care about them. To help the BP understand and better cope with fears of abandonment, the person may keep a photo of you nearby or carry something you gave them to remind them of you, in the same way that children use teddy bears and blankets to remind them of their parents' love. Letters, pictures, colognes, scents that remind the BP of their partner, are typically used. These strategies help the BP, often reducing their anxieties and fears. Usually, the result is less clinging behavior, which can bring some relief to the non-BP. Interpersonal sensitivity. Some people with BPD have an amazing ability to read others and uncover their triggers and vulnerabilities. One clinician jokingly called people with BPD psychic. BPs often have an astute ability to identify and use social and nonverbal cues of others. BPs can empathize well with others and often understand and respect how others feel, and they can use those skills to see through others. As adults, BPs continue to use their social antennae to uncover triggers and vulnerabilities in others that they can use to their advantage in various situations. Therapists who work with BPs can attest that BPs have a gift for knowing how their therapist is doing that day. For example, tired, worried, sad, angry, and will often bring this up during the session. Situational competence. Some people with BPD are competent and in control in some situations. For example, many perform very well at work and are high achievers. Many are very intelligent, creative, and artistic. This can be very confusing for family members who don't understand why the person can act so self-assured in one situation and fall apart in another. This ability to have competence in difficult situations while being incompetent in seemingly equal or easier tasks is known as situational competence. One borderline woman says, "We know deep within that we are defective, so we try so hard to act normal because we want so much to please everybody and keep the people in our lives from abandoning us." But this competence is a double-edged sword. Because they can appear so normal, high-functioning borderlines often don't get the help they need. Narcissistic demands. Some people with BPD frequently bring the focus of attention back to themselves. They may react to most things based solely on how it affects them. Some people with BPD draw attention to themselves by complaining of illness. Others may act inappropriately in public. These self-involved characteristics are defining components of narcissism. Narcissistic behavior can be especially taxing on non-BPs, as the BP may not even consider how their actions affect others. About 25% of people with BPD also have narcissistic personality disorder. Jack, non-BP. My mother's perception of me, my brother, and my father were as an extension of her. All my relationships were perceived to be about her, affecting her either by creating a reflection of her, good or bad, as a mother, or by threatening my availability to provide her with emotional support and validation. My mom also saw all of my friends as threats to her. She did everything she could to sabotage my friendships. The only acceptable people were ones who could never be really close friends, such as those who weren't of our faith. We were a very religiously conservative family. Manipulation or desperation. It's no secret that non-BPs often feel manipulated and lied to by their borderline loved ones. In other words, they feel controlled or taken advantage of through means such as threats, no-win situations, the silent treatment, rages, and other methods they view as unfair. We believe that, in most cases, the BP's behavior is not intentionally manipulative. Rather, this kind of behavior can be seen as desperate attempts to cope with painful feelings or to get their needs met, without the aim of harming others. The non-BP point of view. In her book, Emotional Blackmail, When the People in Your Life Use Fear, Obligation, and Guilt to Manipulate You, Susan Forward defines emotional blackmail as a direct or indirect threat by someone to punish someone if they don't do what the person wants. At the heart of emotional blackmail is one basic threat, which can be expressed in many different ways. If you don't behave the way I want you to, you will suffer. Forward explains that people who use this technique, widely used by all types of people, not just BPs, can skillfully mask the pressure they're applying to people, who often experience it in ways that make them question their perception of what's happening. Almost universally, non-BPs say they feel manipulated by the BPs in their lives. If the non-BP doesn't do what the BP wants them to do, the BP may threaten to break off the relationship, call the police, or even kill him or herself. The BP point of view. The terms manipulation and emotional blackmail imply some sort of devious planned intent. While this may be true for some people, borderlines who appear to be manipulative usually act impulsively out of fear, loneliness, desperation, and hopelessness, not maliciousness. Marsha Linehan writes, "People with BPD do influence others, such as through the threat of impending suicide or through communications of intense pain and agony. But this, by itself, is not evidence of manipulation. Otherwise, we would have to say that people in pain or crises are manipulating us if we respond to them." In our interview with psychiatrist Larry J. Seaver, he said, although people with BPD can be apparently manipulative, they don't think about the behavior as such. They're trying to meet their needs in the only way they know how. Somebody has to relieve their anger or anxiety or distress or sense of impending annihilation right now. They are trying to elicit a response to soothe them, to help them feel better. Degrees of awareness. In our experience, people with BPD have varying degrees of conscious awareness that their behavior could be perceived as manipulative, just like most people do. A.J. Mahari, recovered BP. My days and thoughts are not consumed by plans of how to push which button in whom. My actions are about survival and preserving my identity. They are not some pre-planned sporting activity. Rachel Ryland, BP. Often I realize my motivations only after the incident is over. Once, I was so upset that my husband was ignoring me at Christmas that, right in front of him, I began destroying all the gifts he had just given me. My husband stopped me as I was about to rip apart the gift I loved most, a book of love poetry. When I saw the book, it dawned on me that I never would have ruined it. I was more interested in seeing my husband try to stop me. If I had been living alone, the whole episode would never have happened. So why did I do it? The answer was ugly and harsh, shameful and disgusting. Manipulation. I felt deeply ashamed. Lori, BP. While others might feel manipulative, I feel powerless. Sometimes I just hurt so bad from the mean things that people do to me, real or perceived, or I'm so desperately feeling abandoned that I withdraw and pout and go silent. At some point, people get pissed off and fed up with that crap and they go away, and then I'm left with nothing all over again. It is important that you understand the differences between manipulation and desperation. The BP's behavior is more about them than you. For example, it may help to be able to look at a self-mutilating BP's behavior as self-punishment rather than as a way to trap the non-BP into a relationship. Real-world types of BPD. People with BPD vary a great deal in their ability to work inside or outside the home, cope with everyday problems, interact with others, and so on. This variation is one reason why BPD befuddles those trying to define it scientifically. In the Essential Family Guide to Borderline Personality Disorder, New Tools and Techniques to Stop Walking on Eggshells, Randy Krieger, co-author of this book, developed a real-world way of looking at these differences. She writes that there are three general categories of people with BPD: lower-functioning conventional BPs, higher-functioning invisible BPs, and those with characteristics of both. The challenges family members face can be very different. Mostly lower-functioning conventional BPs. Lower-functioning conventional BPs tend to have the following characteristics. 1. Under stress, they cope through self-destructive behaviors, such as self-injury and suicidality. The term for this is acting in, as opposed to acting out, which we'll get to shortly. 2. They may spend a lot of time in the hospital because of self-mutilation, severe eating disorders, substance abuse, or suicide attempts. For this reason, they may be well known to treatment providers and fit the more conventional stereotype of someone with BPD. 3. They may be incapacitated by their illness and unable to work. Some BPs are on disability. 4. They often have overlapping or co-occurring disorders, such as eating disorders. 5. People who are close to low-functioning conventional borderlines often find themselves living from crisis to crisis. They may feel manipulated by self-mutilation and suicide attempts. However, because the borderline is obviously ill, non-BPs usually receive understanding and support from family and friends. Mostly higher-functioning, invisible BPs. Higher-functioning, invisible BPs, in contrast, tend to have these characteristics. 1. High-functioning, invisible borderlines act perfectly normal much of the time, at least to people outside the family. They hold jobs and appear to have no trouble with the usual activities of daily living, which makes them high-functioning. They usually show their other side only to people they know very well. That's why family members say these people bring to mind Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. 2. They cope with their pain by acting out, projecting it onto someone else. For example, by raging, blaming, criticizing, making accusations, becoming physically violent, and engaging in verbal abuse. Unlike conventional BPs, they usually don't project vulnerability. Think Marilyn Monroe or Princess Diana. 3. Although these borderlines may feel the same shame and fear as their less functional, more conventional counterparts, their denial is so complete that when they say, "There's nothing wrong with me, there's something wrong with you," they truly believe it. 4. These BPs may fiercely refuse to seek help unless someone threatens to end the relationship. That's why they are invisible to the mental health community. They're not included in the statistics about the number of people with BPD, perhaps drastically lowering the actual figure. 5. If they do go to counseling, it may well be because someone has given them an ultimatum. Couples therapy is often not productive because they use it to try to prove they're right and their partner is wrong. 6. Non-borderlines involved with this type of BP need to have their perceptions and feelings validated. Friends and family members who don't know the borderline very well may not believe stories of rage and verbal abuse. Many non-BPs told us that even their therapists refused to believe them when they described the BP's out-of-control behavior. BPs with overlapping characteristics. Of course, there's a lot of room between high-functioning, sometimes referred to as the borderline, and low-functioning BPs. Stressful life events are most likely to trigger dysfunctional coping mechanisms in all BPs, and in others who don't have the disorder, too. Coping techniques for mostly lower-functioning conventional BPs. Acting in. Mostly self-destructive acts such as self-harm. Coping techniques for mostly higher-functioning, invisible BPs. Acting out. Uncontrolled and impulsive rages, criticism, and blame. These may result less from a lack of interpersonal skills, more typical of conventional BPs, than from an unconscious projection of their own pain onto others. Willingness to obtain help for mostly lower-functioning, conventional BPs. Self-harm and suicidal tendencies often bring these BPs into the mental health system, both as inpatients and outpatients. High interest in therapy. Willingness to obtain help for mostly higher-functioning, invisible BPs. A state of denial, much like an untreated alcoholic. Disavows responsibility for relationship difficulties. Refuses treatment. When confronted, accuses others of having BPD. May see a therapist if threatened, but rarely takes it seriously or stays long. Co-occurring, concurrent, mental health issues of mostly lower-functioning, conventional BPs. Mental conditions such as bipolar and eating disorders require medical intervention and contribute to low functioning. Co-occurring, concurrent, mental health issues of mostly higher functioning invisible BPs. Concurrent illness, most commonly a substance use disorder or another personality disorder, especially narcissistic personality disorder. Functioning of mostly lower functioning conventional BPs. BPD and associated conditions make it difficult to live independently, hold a job, manage finances, and so on. Families often step in to help. Functioning of mostly higher-functioning invisible BPs. Appears normal, even charismatic to outsiders, but exhibits BP traits behind closed doors. May have a career and be successful. Impact on family members of mostly lower-functioning conventional BPs. Major family focus on practical issues such as finding treatment, preventing, reducing BP's self-destructive behavior, and providing practical and emotional support. Parents feel extreme guilt and are emotionally overwhelmed. impact on family members of mostly higher-functioning invisible BPs. Without an obvious illness, family members blame themselves for relationship problems and try to get their emotional needs met. They make fruitless efforts to persuade their BP to get professional help. Major issues include high-conflict divorce and custody cases. BPD is pervasive. It impacts the way the sufferer feels, thinks, and behaves. But BPD doesn't exist in a vacuum. In the next chapter, we'll discuss what happens when you enter the picture. Chapter 3. Making Sense of Chaos. Understanding BPD Behavior. Borderlines and non-borderlines live in two different worlds that coexist in the same space, but not always in the same time. Comprehending the real world for me is as formidable as the task of understanding the borderline world is for you. A.J. Mahari, recovered BP, from the Welcome to Oz support community at www.bpdcentral.com. Each person with BPD is unique. If something you read rings true for you, consider it carefully. If it doesn't seem to apply in your situation, don't try to make it fit. Remember that people with BPD, like everyone else, will sometimes have reactions that are either greatly exaggerated or seem to have no basis in reality. However, don't blame everything on BPD. Ask yourself if there is any truth to what the person with BPD is saying. People with BPD can be very intuitive. Many are extremely sensitive to tone of voice and body language. They may even pick up something you are feeling before you are aware of it. Acknowledging and owning up to what is truly your responsibility can often diffuse a potentially explosive situation. Before concluding that BPD is responsible for your loved one's strong response, ask yourself if your behavior triggered a natural human reaction. Let's say you cope with BPD behavior by spending as much time as possible away from home. You work late, and when you come home, you barely speak to the person with BPD. You may be trying to protect yourself, which is understandable. However, if your distancing triggers abandonment fears and acting out, you may need to take a look at how your own actions are affecting the situation. The BP world. Most people find it hard to understand BPD behavior because they assume that people with BPD think and feel the way they do. It's an understandable mistake. High-functioning borderlines can act quite normal when their BPD behaviors are not being triggered. They don't look or sound like they have a disorder. Some people with BPD, usually those in therapy, can have an excellent intellectual understanding of BPD. They can recite the DSM criteria and pinpoint which traits describe them. When not overcome by intense emotions, they may understand that their feelings don't always reflect reality as others see it. But that knowledge doesn't fill the aching hole inside them. Understanding the causes of their pain doesn't necessarily make them feel any better, and it may not make it any easier for them to change their behavior. It also doesn't prevent them from feeling hopelessly misunderstood when exasperated non-BPs tell them, "Just pull yourself together." To understand borderline behavior, you have to leave your own world and journey into theirs. And you should, since you're asking the BP in your life to come into yours. As you listen, keep in mind that these behaviors are usually unconscious. They are designed to shield the person with BPD from intense emotional pain, not to hurt you. Common BP thinking. When you travel to another country, it's important to know the local customs. When you're interacting with someone with BPD, it's crucial to understand that their unconscious assumptions may be very different from yours. They may include, "I must be loved by all the important people in my life at all times, or else I am worthless. I must be completely competent in all ways to be a worthwhile person." "Some people are good and everything about them is perfect. Other people are thoroughly bad and should be blamed and punished for it." "My feelings are caused by external events. I have no control over my emotions or the things I do in reaction to them." "Nobody cares about me as much as I care about them, so I lose everyone I care about, despite the desperate things I do to stop them from leaving me. If someone treats me badly, then I become bad. When I am alone, I become nobody and nothing. I will be happy only when I can find an all-giving, perfect person to love me and take care of me no matter what. But if someone close to this loves me, then something must be wrong with them. I can't stand the frustration that I feel when I need something from someone and I can't get it. I've got to do something to make it go away. Feelings create facts. In general, emotionally healthy people base their feelings on facts. If your dad came home drunk every night, fact, you might feel worried or concerned, feeling. If your boss complimented you on a big project, fact, you would feel proud and happy, feeling. People with BPD, however, may do the opposite. When their feelings don't fit the facts, they may unconsciously revise the facts to fit their feelings. This may be one reason why their perception of events is different from yours. Let's look at Minuet, BP, and her husband, Will. One Friday afternoon, Will calls his wife to say he'll be home late because he's having a beer with the guys after work. Minuet feels anxious, rejected, and jealous. Minuet's emotions are confusing and overwhelming to her. To make sense of them, she concludes that Will must be doing something to bring them on. She might accuse Will of having a drinking problem. She might tell him that he's a terrible person for wanting to be with friends instead of her after a hard work week. She unconsciously revises the facts so that her feelings make sense. Rationalization. Rationalization is another common defense mechanism. You know you should exercise, but it seems like too much trouble. So you tell yourself that you're too busy to work out, even though you always have enough time to watch your favorite TV shows. Some family members use rationalization to explain a BP's behavior. For example, he's just acting this way because he's so stressed out at work. Tag, you're it, a game of projection. Some people with BPD who act out may use a game we call Tag, You're It to relieve their anxiety, pain, and feelings of shame. It's complex because it combines shame, splitting, denial, and projection. Tag is a fun game for a child, but it's not a game for people with BPD. Lacking a clear sense of who they are and feeling empty and inherently defective, people with BPD feel like it all the time. Others seem to run away from them, which is lonely and excruciatingly painful. So borderlines cope by trying to tag someone else. This is called projection. Projection is denying one's own unpleasant traits, behaviors, or feelings by attributing them, often in an accusing way, to someone else. In our interview with Elise M. Benham, MS, she explained that projection is like gazing at yourself in a handheld mirror. When you think you look ugly, you turn the mirror around. Voila! Now the homely face in the mirror belongs to somebody else. Understanding projection. Sometimes the projection is an exaggeration of something that has a basis in reality. For example, the borderline may accuse you of hating them when you just feel irritated. Sometimes the projection may come entirely from their imagination. For example, they accuse you of flirting with a sales clerk when you were just asking for directions to the shoe department. The BP's unconscious hope is that by projecting this unpleasant stuff onto another person, by tagging someone else and making them it, the person with BPD will feel better about themselves. And they do feel better, for a little while. But the pain comes back, so the game is played again and again. Projection's other purpose, redirection. Projection also has another purpose. Your loved one unconsciously fears that if you find out they're not perfect, you will abandon them. Like in The Wizard of Oz, they live in constant terror that you'll discover the person behind the curtain. Projecting the negative traits and feelings onto you is a way to keep the curtain closed and redirect your attention to the perfect image they've tried to create for themselves. Your task is to examine what the person with BPD is saying and determine whether they have an accurate point. Remember, not everything is projection. But if the borderline is projecting, you need to stop playing the game and decline to be it in a respectful way. We'll explain how to do this in the second part of this book. How the game is played. When someone with BPD tags you, they're unconsciously trying to transfer their own behaviors, feelings, or perceived traits onto you. When projecting their traits onto you, the person with BPD thinks they're defective, so they accuse you of having something wrong with you. Sometimes the flaw they see in others is the identical flaw they fail to see in themselves. Sometimes it's not. Sharon, BP. I hate myself so much I can barely see straight. When I am drowning in hate, it floods over everyone and everything, and I feel so justified for feeling such loathing toward everyone, mostly my husband. He seems so utterly disgusting, so pitifully stupid. Projection statements and unconscious thoughts, feelings. Projection statement. You're a horrible person. No one will ever love you but me. Unconscious thought, feeling. I am such a rotten person that anyone who would love me must be defective too. Projection statement. You're such a suck-up, it's no wonder Mom loved you best. Unconscious thought, feeling. I feel so flawed that not even my own mother loves me. Projection statement. You are such a terrible parent that you shouldn't even be around our kids. Unconscious thought, feeling. I feel like a terrible parent. Projection statement. You two are the worst parents in the world. It's no wonder I have BPD. Unconscious thought, feeling. I feel like the worst kid in the world. Projection statement. I do not have BPD. You do. Unconscious thought, feeling. The thought that I might have BPD terrifies me. Projection statement. You made me have this affair and get pregnant because you're such a lousy husband. Unconscious thought, feeling. I have this affair because I think I'm a lousy wife and don't deserve to be loved. When projecting behaviors, the BP may accuse you of doing something that they are actually doing, or they may use your real or imagined behavior to absolve themselves of responsibility for their own actions or keep themselves from feeling shame for having engaged in the behaviors. Typical behavior projections and unconscious thoughts, feelings. Behavior projections. You made me do it. Unconscious thoughts, feelings. I did it for reasons I don't understand. Behavior projection. You think I'm controlling? You're the one who's so controlling. Unconscious thought, feeling. I feel like I'm losing control right now and it scares me. Behavior projection. Stop screaming at me. Unconscious thought, feeling, I am so angry that I need to scream at you right now. Behavior projection. You never consider my needs. You're always thinking about yourself. Unconscious thought, feeling, my needs are so overwhelming to me that I can't think about yours. Behavior projection. You're the one who left this marriage. You're not the person I fell in love with anymore. Unconscious thought, feeling, I've shown you my real, flawed self, and it scares me so much that I have to reject you before you reject me. Behavioral projection. If you had taken my calls at work, I wouldn't have had to call you at 3 o'clock in the morning at home. Unconscious thought, feeling. I need to talk with you so badly that I'll do anything to reach you. The other way a person with BPD can project onto you is to accuse you of having feelings and thoughts that really belong to them. Ellen, BP. When I accused my psychiatrist of hating me and telling me to snap out of it, it was because I hated myself and I wished that I could snap out of it. My deepest fears and feelings of self-hatred were those I would project onto someone else because they were too frightening and disturbing to acknowledge within myself. More BP projections. Projection. You hate me. Unconscious thought, feeling. I hate myself. Projection. You don't think I'm good enough. Unconscious thought, feeling. I don't think I'm good enough. Projection. When you said, it's cold outside, you really meant to criticize the way I dressed the children for school this morning. Unconscious thought, feeling. I have such a low opinion of myself that I question my parenting abilities. projection. You spend so much time at work because you don't want to be around me. Unconscious thought, feeling. I don't want to be around myself, so why would anyone else want to be around me? How can people with BPD deny that they are projecting when it is so obvious to everyone else? The answer is that shame and splitting may combine with projection and denial to make the tag you're it defense mechanism a more powerful way of denying ownership of unpleasant thoughts and feelings. The process of projection. How does this process, which can take place in only a few seconds, work? Some people with BPD feel shame, defective at the core of their being. Like everyone else, people with BPD have negative feelings, behaviors, and traits, but because of splitting, black and white thinking, they often deny any flaws because that would make them less than perfect, and if they're not perfect, they're worthless. Projection then completes the picture. The BPD logic goes like this. There seems to be a problem. It's not my fault. Therefore, the problem must be yours. Projective identification. There's one more piece of tag you're it that's important to understand. After many games of tag, you may actually come to believe the accusations of the person with BPD. You may even start to behave in such a way as to make the accusations true. This is called projective identification. Let's say that in order to cope with her own feelings of shame and worthlessness, Edith, BP, constantly tells her 5-year-old daughter, Joni, that she's a horrible person and she'll never have any friends. Eventually, Joni concludes that she is a horrible person. Convinced that she is innately flawed, she avoids contact with other people. When they reach out to her, she rejects them before they reject her. A self-fulfilling prophecy. Projective identification brings to mind the political cliché, if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe you. It's also a bit like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Edith's prediction has come true. Joni has no friends, not because she's a loathsome person, but because she feels like she is. Children are especially vulnerable to projective identification because they're still forming their own identities. In fact, on a subconscious level, they may feel that they may lose their parents' love if they don't do whatever mom or dad seemingly expects of them, including act badly. Go to Chapter 9 for more discussion about the effects of BPD behavior on children. Projective identification also may have more of an impact on those adults whose self-esteem is low and whose own identities are weak. In our interview with Elise Benham, MS, she explained, "Even as adults, we give credence to what others tell us about ourselves. If we find ourselves in an important relationship with someone who constantly undermines what we know or believe about ourselves, we'll start to believe it." For example, here are some adult examples of projection and projective identification. Your BP girlfriend accuses you again and again of not loving her and wanting to abandon her. For years, you try to get her to see that this isn't true, but nothing works. Exhausted, you realize that the relationship is over and you need to get on with your life, thereby abandoning her. Your teenage borderline son accuses you of not loving him enough to let him live at home. When he comes home for a visit from the residential facility, he's physically violent. He brings drug-dealing friends into the house and threatens his sister with a knife. You lie awake at night, vowing to never let him live at home again, thereby seeming to fulfill your son's belief. Your borderline sister accuses you of sucking up to mom and dad, who always loved you best. You spend more time with your folks because you enjoy being with them, and they enjoy being with you. They love your sister, but rescuing her from her reckless behavior has put a terrible strain on them. As time goes on, you wonder if your parents do indeed prefer being with you. What projective identification offers the BP? Some adults who enter into relationships with borderlines feel brainwashed by the BP's accusations and criticisms. Says Benham, "The techniques of brainwashing are simple. Isolate the victim, expose them to consistent messages, mix with sleep deprivation, add some form of abuse, get the person to doubt what they know and feel, keep them on their toes, wear them down, and stir well. Everything is your fault. Continual blame and criticism are other defense mechanisms people with BPD who act out use. The criticism may be based on a real